It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
You want to call by its name? That's strictly for fags. That's faggot stuff.
You're an idiot.
That isn't just irresponsible. It's outrageous.
I've got an eclectic reading list.
Took you long enough, you dummy.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. That was unnecessary.
Yes.
Here's our phone number, 877-365-3636. Yes. Today on the show, we'll be playing You're the Poet.
You're the Poet.
It's exactly what it says it is. We will have wonderful prizes, including a screening of the movie X-Files, which is Thursday night. I'm not sure where. Yay. I don't have a card for it yet, but you'll win tickets.
It's at Libby's house.
It's out there somewhere.
Libby. Libby Kincaid. All right.
We're very excited about that. Two Ks.
Buzz?
Yes.
It's time to talk pornography.
It sure is, Mike.
Let's bring the expert man, the man himself. There's Paul. Our fabulous porn music we have in the background.
You mean Paul?
I'm talking about Paul Fishbein.
I'm Paul.
Paul is the creator of the Adult Video News. Is that...
Yeah.
That's not inaccurate, is it, Mr. Fishbein?
Well, the name is AVN now, but you are correct.
Mm-hmm. Yes, AVN. So you don't say Adult Video News, right? You don't
no.
say that anymore?
We don't say Gentleman's Quarterly. We say GQ.
AVN.
Because we're more than video. We're novelty. We're internet. Mm-hmm. We're digital media. We're things nobody has even thought of yet.
So. You are. You are the man. And you created this thing. What's a good Temple graduate like you getting into this porn business there, Paul?
You know, it was an accident. I was a journalism student and I had published magazines and uh-huh. was looking for something to do because I was graduating school and working in video retail. And it was just one of those moments in life that you either seize or you don't when all these new customers getting their VCRs for the first time, because this was 1982. Hey, can you recommend a good adult film? Hey, what's this one about? Hey, you know, I've never seen an adult film. Which one should I buy? And it was like, wow, there's all these new people who, you know, never went into theaters that wanted to watch porn in the privacy of their own home. So it spawned an idea, and it led to this, to where we are today.
And now it's AVN, and you're the mogul of AVN, and you've been doing that for very long, about 82, right? That's when you started the whole thing?
Yeah, the magazine just celebrated its 25th anniversary.
Wow, congratulations.
I've got a porn trivia question for when I got, and this is how far back it goes, when I got my very first Betamax,
yeah.
okay, this is how long ago this was, I went into the video store and I purchased two movies. I didn't purchase them, I rented them.
Ah.
And yeah, I think I rented them. I didn't because it was the rental thing was just starting.
Then. God, back then it cost like $80 to buy a movie.
Do you know what they were?
No.
On Golden Pond
uh-huh.
and Debbie Does Dallas.
Very nice.
Those were. Isn't that a nice little combo there, Paul?
And that was every customer that would come into the video store.
That's right.
Because again, back then, if you remember, I mean, there were movie theaters. I mean, if you wanted to go see porn, you had to go into a sleazy theater. And now people had the opportunity to look at it in the privacy of their own home, so it changed the entire marketplace.
So your whole thing started when you were working at a video store, basically.
I was managing Movies Unlimited, a big store that's still, well, they're still the biggest mail order in the country,
mm-hmm.
and they were in Philadelphia. And
did they have, like, the back room that you would go into
yeah,
with the special
huge,
selections?
Huge back room. In fact, the first movies that we reviewed, we took them off the shelf because they didn't know any of the studios yet.
Wow.
So we just grabbed them off the shelf and reviewed them and put them in the first issue and then sent copies to all the studios, and they were more than happy because there wasn't a really objective review.
Right.
You know? I mean, people, there was no such thing as critical, stuff on the industry. So we became sort of that critical bastion of integrity that we've held up for 25 years.
You know, I remember, I think it was Penthouse Magazine, mm-hmm. might have been one of the first publications that was doing a regular review
uh-huh.
where they gave the little cartoon of the thing. And
Hustler
that had the state of the state of the cartoon, whether
yeah, no,
it was...
We're not on satellite, so I can't be too explicit.
You can't be explicit as to what their little guide was, but it was
I think we all remember it.
It was a very accurate guide as to whether the movie...
Close to thumbs up and thumbs down.
Yes,
it was very
yes, it
similar
was.
To that. What is the state of porn in America right now? I mean, it seems to me it would be growing exponentially year after year. Is that what it's doing?
Yeah, it's grown exponentially, but the very thing that helped it grow all these years is sort of creating some of the drama business-wise, because technology has gotten to the point where I mean, most of the people who are listening to this, if they're computer literate, know they can go on the computer and they can find a bunch of free porn.
Yeah, where? I was going to ask you about that.
And where is this free porn?
I'm not going to promote these because they're hurting our business.
We're kidding.
But the truth is, there's a lot of, you know what, if you've studied what's going on in the music industry with free file sharing and Napster and how it's come to the, you know, to the iTunes model, the same thing really has happened in adult because, you know, people are putting up free stuff on the internet. There's pirated, stolen movies, and you know you can watch people's movies until they file a lawsuit. You know they don't get taken down.
Right.
And then you know people you know figure out how to get it for free, and they don't want to pay for it. Well, it's the same thing as the music business. Now there are video on demand models where people can go, just like the 99-cent song, and they can go and watch by the minute and pay 10 cents a minute. And you know if they want to watch 20 minutes of a movie or 5 minutes of a movie, they can. And that sort of is the same model as what the music industry does.
Are you? I know one of the big things you do with AVN is you track sales, and you're the first publication that actually has gone into great detail is what's making money and what's not making money. And I know it's big business. One of the things that I was curious about was you mentioned the internet, and that's one of the reasons why there's a big explosion in the business. But also, I look at myself, and we talk about it on the show all the time. If you're talking about one of the primary ways that I think on this show that we would get our stuff is we go to the old satellite clicker, you know, we go to the to that, and you go to that particular set of numbers and pay an outrageous amount of money to watch your 3 minutes or 4 minutes of content that you have. I'm sorry, DirecTV's got the whole lineup there.
Well, DirecTV has about 6 hardcore channels,
right?
And you can watch it in a hotel room. Those things are of convenience. I mean, when you buy a block of programming on DirecTV, you're getting a whole movie. I mean, it's not expensive compared to buying a DVD,
right?
And I think, and again, I'm 49 years old, so you can consider me old school.
Hey, guess what, Paul?
What?
We're exactly the same age.
Well, so you know that
you were at Temple when I was at American University. We played you in basketball.
And we probably won, but you got a better education.
I don't know about that. Temple's not a bad place, you know.
So,
but I know we're the same age. Right?
No, but I mean, the experience of watching something at home and on our television is a lot different than the experience on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I'll go to the internet, and if I want to find out a piece of information or if I want to look at a girl or somebody wants, you know, it's great. But I'm not going to sit there and watch a movie of any kind, adult or otherwise,
on
my computer. It's just not the same experience.
Right. It's not the same experience at all as it would be on your television or, you know, even if you had your, you know, you went out and got your own movie. Are people still, I see them, I still see the, what's the name of the one around here? Is it MVC?
Yes,
that they have. That's
the,
I still see those stores, on the street corners.
The video stores who concentrate on adult or the adult bookstores, I mean, they are feeling this economy as much as everybody else is. We used to say adult was recession-proof, but it's not true. We are really in a recession, and the industry's feeling it. But those stores seem to survive because there's just nothing like the experience of going into a store. Plus, most of them also sell, you know, sex toys. They sell magazines. They're selling a lot more than DVDs.
Yeah, so. Snacks.
Paul, about the recession and adult videos, I read recently that the one area of adult videos that does seem to be kind of recession-proof, and you can, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I hear that couples videos are going strong in spite of the fall off elsewhere.
There's old horny Buzz. I know you get a couples question in for him there.
There's one.
That's
couples
great.
Films. Well, I mean, I just think that when we look at what's going on, there are very strong producers whose numbers may be down, but not down like some of the cheaper, crappier product.
Right.
And so, you know, I think everybody in the industry's numbers, it's more than just the economy. There's a glut of product. There are so many movies being produced. We're tracking possibly 14,000 new adult movies this year.
Wow.
Jesus.
That is, if you think about how many movies come out on Hollywood or how many movies come out on DVD, I mean, that's probably 10 times the amount of things that come out on regular DVD. So you do have a law of supply and demand that's been turned upside down, and so there's a glut of product, and there's a glut of bad product. Because
does this mean a lot of people so there's not a, you know, way back when, and we're the same age, you know the stigma that surrounded this, that this was, this was the land of the mafia, this was the land of, of drug traffickers and a lot of bad people getting into it, and what I have seen slowly and steadily is that it seems to be
more and more kind of mainstream, where you've got, you know, you've got these people that are porn stars that might get an invite into a major opening of a club in Las Vegas, and they're treated like rock stars when they get there.
Well, I mean, to go back to your original point, I mean, I heard the stories when I got into the business about the mob, and I've heard stories from people that said when they started their video companies in the late 70s, they were visited by the mob who tried to strong-arm them. But I can tell you, almost 26 years in this business, I've never encountered what I know to be a mobster.
Really?
Wow.
No, you hear these guys. We've had, I forgot the guy we had on, but we had a director on. Mm-hmm. And this guy, if you wanted, at least from an audio standpoint, to have the typical, hey, how are ya?
Yeah.
And I'll never forget what he said on our old Don and Mike show. You know, he said, they're garbage cans. They're garbage cans.
He was referring to his lady actresses.
Yeah, he was talking to his lady actresses. Yeah, and he fit the kind of a stereotype that's been around for
60s,
a while.
The 70s theatrical world into the early 80s, I know it existed, but again, I never experienced it. First of all, the first 8 years that AVM was in existence, I published out of Philadelphia. So I wasn't in New York or L.A. in the mainstream of where the industry was. So by the time I got out here in 1991, it was free sailing, you know?
Wow. You don't even have, like, a summer home in Canoga Park or anything like that?
No, I'm sitting in Chatsworth right now, so don't need the summer home here.
Paul, is the adult film industry aware of its effect on society, on fashion specifically, in the fact that people are grooming themselves differently, largely because of what they've seen in films?
Oh, I think
are
so.
You talking about down there?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you know, it's interesting that now becoming a porn star is a career choice for women turning 18. I should say girls turning 18. I think that's the home video revolution, and the fact that a generation of kids grew up with VCRs in their home and with easy access to the internet. And so, yeah, it's interesting that I think that people, it's a career choice for women, and I'm sure they're studying them.
It's a different day than, and once we get back to the whole, you know, you and I being 49 years old, I remember, you know, a group of guys from high school going over to the Manchester Twin just outside Hartford, Connecticut, and, you know, I think cutting class one day, and, you know, sort of sneaking into the Manchester Twin and going in there and laughing at all the guys, you know, the single old, dirty old men that were sitting in there, and it's, you know, now it's just the accessibility that maybe that's contributed to the legitimacy of porn.
I think so. Again, remember that we're in a different society now. We're in a celebrity-driven society. We're in an instant gratification society. you know, people like Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian are stars for absolutely having no talent,
right,
but for the fact that they had sex videos out and became stars because of them. So
some might say that's the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, right
it
there.
Is, yeah. You know, it's just our society today. It's the way everything is driven. So
Paul, you said a statistic that staggered me. You said you expect 14,000 releases this year?
Yep.
Now, I did some math. That means that 38 movies, porn movies, will be released every day in the year on average. That averages out to 38 and a half movies a day.
God.
Are we near a saturation point? Is there going to be a point where there's too many movies and not enough outlets? And if so...
No, that's it. That's exactly where we are. So, because we were talking about, you know, the economy and it's affecting the industry, and I was saying it's not just the economy, it's the glut of product.
Right.
And that there are producers who are still doing very well, but those are the people who put out quality, either quality, really high quality stuff, or they have a good consumer following, or the stuff is niche oriented and has appealed to a certain, you know, a certain kind of person that likes a certain kind of niche.
I'm gonna, you know, we every day on this show, my news guy Buzz Burbank comes in with, you know, a satchel full of sex news, and I'm gonna ask you about something that probably, you know, if you were, you know, a little bit more on a production end of things. I mean, obviously, the, you know...
By the way, you know, our AVN.com, that's all we do is write about sex news all day long.
Cool. That's AVN there. There's the plug. That's good.
I'm sorry. I actually wasn't plugging.
I know. That's okay.
He was assisting.
But he's got the sex news. I'm gonna bring up something, Buzz, you had on the news a short time ago.
Right.
And this is going to get to another question I had about the whole safety issues that, you know, and where that stands in the industry right now. And you had a story, something about VD, and that now it can be transmitted certain diseases from
the mouth.
Verbally, yes.
Verbally, that's the way we can. I hate the restrictions.
The FCC.
Even though that thing got overturned with Janet Jackson, we still got to walk the tightrope here. Safety issues. Still a concern. Has anything changed as far as that? I mean, there was the scandal, not a scandal, but there was that big blow up a few years ago where, you know, some of the people were getting infected and there was a bit of a scare. And that seems to have calmed down a little bit. And it kind of blows my mind. Yeah. When I'm watching the content, I don't know whether are we getting the right medical information or, you know, do these people have these concerns? Are there still the testing? I mean, I don't know anything about the industry.
Well, they're still testing. Most people, I guess, get tested every 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that there was a fallacy there because what happens if you get infected on the second day of the next month?
I always thought the same thing.
For another 28 days.
Mm-hmm.
I have always scratched my head. Anytime there's an HIV scare and there's a production stops and they quarantine and everybody gets into, they have these meetings and everybody says, all right, we're going to be, we're going to practice safe sex. We're going to use condoms, whatever. There's always people that say it's a matter of choice and these people know what they're getting into.
Right.
And because there was a time.
That's true. That's where you have to look at it.
There was a time in the industry about 8 or 10 years ago where a good 25 of the major production companies all decided to go condom only.
Right.
And, it really, they said it affected their sales because the non-condom people were just promoting the fact that, hey, our movies don't have condoms.
Right. What's that company we
Kick
had?
Ass.
Kick-Ass Video, actually, he made, that was like his slogan.
No implants, and
all nude sex and no condoms.
Well,
that's
the only company left, I mean, Vivid was one of the last two remaining. They went condom optional.
Right.
And so you rarely see a condom. And Wicked Pictures is still condom, but they put out such high-quality movies, it doesn't really seem to affect their sales.
Amen.
And then you kind of, and certainly, on the surface of things, you'll see if there's a problem because you're getting those incredible close-ups that you see all the time.
Yeah.
But
it's not always obvious.
I don't know. It always struck me as far as when we've had people that are in the industry and we've talked about it, it always seems to be the great unmentioned, And you mentioned the fact that 18-year-old, and I don't want to make this a whole, safety in porn, but you talk about it being a legitimate career choice with the porn on the internet that, girls are doing this right now. The fact is they do have to know what they're getting into,
sure.
I would think, right?
Well, listen, I'm the first guy, and most of my customers aren't listening to this, so, they won't be angry. They can't be angry at me, but I always believe that girls who are turning 18 and getting into the adult industry, they're young, they're pretty, they're hot. The big thing is get the new girls first.
Right.
And I don't think that the agents or the managers or the people that are getting into the business are giving them nearly enough information. I can tell you, I've at least a half a dozen times in the past 10 years, somebody's called me and said, hey, there's this girl. She works at this strip club. In fact, one of the girls was in Philadelphia. She wants to get into the business. Will you talk to her? Will you help her? And each of these times I've tried to talk the girls out of it.
Good.
I've never been successful.
Of course.
Except one time. One girl, I knew she wasn't made out for the business. She lasted about a week.
Now, how do you know? I'm going to stop you right there and ask you how you know that. What's the profile?
They're just naive, and they think it's easy.
Right.
They just want to make that. And I always say to them, you do realize that you're going to make a choice at the age of 18 or 19. And once you make this choice, there's no turning back.
Absolutely.
It's with you for the rest of your life and will always be there. And you just have to decide. It's hard to make a decision now that you don't care about being a mother or having a family. And you really have to think about it because no matter what, the first time you do it, it's always there.
Right.
Paul,
yeah.
And it's like if you can pound it into them and they still want
to
do
speak.
It, then they're adults. They make choices. Some of the girls are fine. They love it. They're exhibitionists. They're cut out for it.
And there's a type also, Paul. There's a type. I mean, I've met enough of the women that are in this business. I mean, there is kind of a type. And you know what? What I've always noticed, if there's a common thread, you're dealing with some tough cookies, man. I mean, you were talking about tough ladies. I mean, hardcore, tough, tough women that you know how to deal with this and they can handle it.
And
it seems to me
there's some that just they're into sex, they love sex,
right?
They're of a different sort of mentality, a different generation. Mm-hmm. I want to show my body. I love it. I'm an exhibitionist.
Sure.
And they become big porn stars, and they're fine.
Right.
They're absolutely fine.
Paul, if somebody wants to know about a porn movie, if it's any good or not, AVN, of course, is the
place to go. Yeah, if you go to AVN.com, we have a review section,
right.
And you can type in any movie into our database, or you can just click on reviews and see all the newest stuff.
But I know a lot of our listeners want to know, how do you know good porn? How do you decide?
Well, when everything's subjective. If it's really crap, we know it's really crap. If it's badly shot, if it's badly lit, you can't see the sex. It's you can see that it's cheaply done. The girls aren't good. I mean, they won't get good reviews.
Yeah, you know when it's crap if you look at it.
But when it's a movie, a feature with a storyline, it's a certain kind of reviewer because he likes that kind of stuff. If it's most of what's out there, which is just all sex or guns or just scenes, they look at how well the sex is shot, how hot the girls are. It works. It's like any other sort of review.
You're such an honest guy, and we are running out of time.
Yeah.
And I want to go through these rapid fire, so I'm gonna ask them quick, you answer them quick. Okay, Paul?
Me?
Here we go.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
First
go
of all, for you, this is a personal story. Are you married?
Yes.
How are you received at cocktail parties?
Absolutely fine.
Okay, now are you open about what you do? I mean, do
yeah,
people kind of give you the hairy eyeball? I guess
yeah,
you
of course.
Okay, very good. What is the greatest threat to the business right now?
The government.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Still a lot of that going on?
Still obscenity prosecutions and this Bush administration. Hey, you guys are right there in D.C.
Right.
Worst administration in the world. All the problems we have.
What?
With
I can't believe
the
that.
Problems we have in this country
uh-huh.
with people dying overseas, the economy's going in the crapper,
yeah.
And they're going after adults who are producing consenting adult porn for consumption by consenting adults.
Right. Seriously, is the industry? Does the industry in your do anything to combat the child pornography end of this that I can't stand
not
and
only,
I want to see?
Not only is there no such thing as commercial child pornography, but the Free Speech Coalition has a standing $20,000 reward for any information leading to the prosecution and conviction of a child pornographer.
Okay,
that doesn't exist. This industry is very anti-child porn.
Glad to hear that. On a lighter note, how much fun are those award show weekends for the AVN?
AVN Awards. Well, can I just plug the AVN Awards?
You plug them away.
As
a matter of fact, plug away. Yes, yes, Mr. O'Mara, we'd love to have you broadcast out of the AVN Awards.
You should, because we took over the Mandalay Bay Event Center.
Ooh, hello.
Nice.
And now it's open to the public. We have seats for the public, whereas for many years, there were no seats available to the public. Now the public, for about $100, can come to the award show, and it is a blast. It is an absolute blast. January 10th, 2008, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 2009, at Mandalay Bay Event Center will be the 26th annual AVN Awards.
Oh, my.
Tickets go on sale September 1st.
Wow.
Go to AVN.com then, and you can, and there'll be packages for fans that want to come to the Adult
wow.
Entertainment Expo.
And there will be packages at the AVN
exactly.
Awards
there'll
as well.
There will be packages as well.
Right. Yeah, one last question, Rob. We got to get going.
Speaking of packages, what is Peter North like in real life?
Is he still in the industry? Is he still doing it?
Yeah, he's still doing it, and he has a company called North Star Associates, and Peter North.
Oh, my God.
He's also, by the way, 49 years old.
He is 49 as well.
Just like you, Mike.
The longevity of some of the male guys, and I know there are a much smaller group of them than there are women. Amazing, some of the longevity that you see with these guys.
So to speak.
Yeah, the longevity.
Viagra has done wonders.
Yeah, that's the name of the game. Yeah. Hey, you're a good guy. That was fun talking to you, Paul, and good luck with the AVN news. AVN, I should say.
Well, thanks for having me.
And, we'll see you out at the awards when we crash a few parties out
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
That's Paul Fishbein. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Paul.
We'll
bye-bye.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
That's everything you need to know about porn in like 20 minutes. I like that.
Anything else we need to know, we're going to have to go to Las Vegas to find out.
The only thing that would keep me from doing that, we hated doing Super Bowl broadcasts when we're in a room with a bunch of other sleaze. Can you imagine the stinky sleaze ball room would we be in that?
I can. And the other thing
look
is.
Look at how excited he's getting.
Buzz
right
is
now.
Already there.
Mike, that's not the only thing that's happening in Las Vegas.
I know. Oh, you're right about that.
Huh?
Oh,
huh?
You could, could sit me down and talk me into it.
They still have gambling out there, I hear.
What?
Oh, I got to stop this music. Rob, do we have our special music here? No, that's the porn music. I was talking about the other. We're making a segue right now, Mr. Spiewak. Rob was actually enthralled with the guy as well.
Understandably.
I noticed he had a little dreamy look in his eye there, thinking about the world of porn.
Music.
I want to say right now, it's time, ladies and gentlemen, if you think you are skilled, it is time to play You're the poet.
You're the poet.
That's right. 877-365. What's
there it is.
What's going on here?
That CD player was working at Speewag speed.
877-365-3636. If you are a poet, we are going to be the judge of your poetry. Come up with a small poem. We don't want roses are red, violets are blue.
That's out.
We want a poem that we will enjoy.
Any extra credit if they can rhyme something with fishbine?
You can do it any way you want to do it. We'll be the judge, and of course, the very best poem will win $100 American, and we'll have consolation prizes, and all you have to do is get on the line to get on the air. 877-365-3636. You're the poet. All right, aspiring poets, I am ready for you to wow us. We've got porn. We've got poetry.
Wow us with your prowess.
That's what we call the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.